It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. It's opening week for the touring Broadway musical Wicked at the Benedum Center. The Wizard of Oz prequel that became a huge Broadway hit recently celebrated a decade on the Great White Way, and the tour, which was a sellout on its last visit here in 2011, has returned to Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh native John Davidson has returned with it, playing the role of the Wizard. Many of us, children of the 70s, know John Davidson from his many game and talk show hosting stints, including That's Incredible, The Hollywood Squares, and The Tonight Show, filling in on many occasions for Johnny Carson. He was also a guest star on dramatic shows like The Streets of San Francisco, Love American Style, and Fantasy Island. But he's back where it all began for him, on stage, and he's here with us now in Studio A. John Davidson, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks, Paul. That was a great setup. You covered my whole career. It's 50 years, 50 years this year.
Does it feel like it's been that long?
Yes, it does. Ibuprofen is my new best friend. I'm 72 now, and I feel 72. I feel lucky to have this job, I'll say that. I've been touring with Wicked for 10 months, and it's the perfect role for an older guy because it's a cameo. You see, when I got the role, I thought the wizard is the star of the show. No, it's all about the witches, Elphaba and Glinda, and how they came to be and their relationship. And my part starts an hour and 15 minutes after the curtain goes off. I'm waiting in my dressing room for an hour and 15 minutes.
Right, right.
And listening to the show, actually, most shows I'm standing side stage because this touring show is as close to what's on Broadway right now. Some would say better, but it's a Broadway quality is what you're seeing right here in Pittsburgh. Alison Luff is certainly one of the best Elphabas, Green Girl, that we've had.
She was tremendous.
And Glinda is Gina Beck. Did you know she's English?
I did not. She has the Midwest American accent down.
Well, she went to a dialect coach and learned how to talk American, you know, how to speak this crazy thing that we do. But she's very British, and she did it in London for a year and a half. So they brought her in, and she's top notch, just perfect. Our leading man is Kurt Hansen, you know, robust, sexy guy who sings his butt off. He sings in the stratosphere.
Mm-hmm.
So I stand, Madame Morrible is a wonderful character, singer, actor, Alison Fraser, from New York. I stand side stage most every night and watch the show in awe.
I was going to ask what you're doing this whole – because your entrance, as you said, doesn't come till well into that first act. So that's where you are?
Very often I'm watching the show from side stage. These kids are phenomenal, and I'm excited about where they're going in their careers.
There's an old show business line, don't call us, we'll call you. But you called them. When you decided you wanted to play the role of the wizard in Wicked, you reportedly picked up the phone and asked for an audition.
I did. I know it's not classy, but I was doing the Fantastics in New York at the time, the off-Broadway show. I was playing one of the fathers in Fantastics, a show that I had started with. I played the boy back in the 60s. I played the boy in the television version of the Fantastics. Excuse me. Yeah, television version, Hallmark Hall of Fame. So I was doing off-Broadway in the Fantastics, and I was right across the street from Wicked, and I said to my agent, you know, I've done a lot of tours of Harold Hill and the Music Man playing. That's a con man. I played Starbuck on 110 in the Shade. He's a con man. The Wizard is a con man. I would love to be a con man. I'd love to be the Wizard. Do you think they'd ever see me? And he said, I'll get back to you. Well, a month went by, month and almost 2 months. And finally, I got an audition for somebody, the assistant to the assistant director, you know. I said, that's fine, whatever. I just want to be the Wizard.
John Davidson only gets to the assistant of the assistant. That's,
well, I mean, it might have been the assistant
let's
to the
hope,
director.
Let's hope so. Yeah. All right.
The second time I came back, it was for other people. And then I auditioned for Joe Mantello and Stephen Schwartz. Joe Mantello is the director and Stephen Schwartz, the musical guy. And David Stone, the producer. And they said, yeah, you can be the Wizard.
Did you... of course, in the movie, the Wizard was played by the great actor Frank Morgan. Yes. Are you channeling any of him in your wizard portrayal? what has been your approach to building that character in your own John Davidson way?
Yeah. I'm so glad you brought up Frank Morgan because, yes, I've watched the film several times, and I think that that is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to do it my way, but, you know. The question is whether to give away too early that he is a con man. You know, he's a lovable wizard in the first scene, and then everything changes. I won't say specifically what happens, but maybe Frank Morgan, maybe I don't know where does my wizard come from? I don't know.
Is there something that you're bringing from yourself? Because, you know, actors say that there's always a little bit of yourself in this. Are you are you thinking back to some time when you maybe had to hoodwink somebody?
Well, I think I've been conning people all my life. I've been getting away with murder. I mean, my talent is what it is, but I often feel like I'm conning people. I've never been. My career has been like a pitchfork as opposed to a spear. Let me explain. Mm. Tony Bennett is a spear. Johnny Mathis is a spear. They do one thing. They have one prong, and they do that very well. They sing. I, early on, had a manager, Bob Banner, who found me in a Broadway show, and he said, I'm going to develop you as a variety show host. We might do a game show someday. But as a host as well as a singer, actor, you're going to take some dance, some tap and soft shoe. You're going to study acting. We're going to go after a television sitcom, which I did with Sally Field. The Girl Was Something Extra. I played Sally Field's husband. You're going to do concerts. We're going to play Vegas. We're going to give you a Vegas act. You know, we're going to work on it. And you're going to try to do all these things as well as you can. But he said, high notes are not what's important. It's being a good entertainer. So I call myself an entertainer, a master of many things. And maybe I've never really become big at anything. I mean, my career is I've been in the business for 50 years. But I don't feel I've ever really made it. So every show, I'm still trying to make it.
Which does that work to your advantage because it keeps you hungry in a sense too?
Well, that's what the wizard is. He's just trying to save his butt. he's in over his head. And so he makes people think that he has these magic powers and he's faking it. I think it's a good lesson for all of us. There's lots of lessons in Wicked. Shall I tell you about the lessons of Wicked?
Tell me about the lessons. First, let me remind our listeners, you're listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. We're talking with Pittsburgh native John Davidson. He's playing the wizard in Wicked. And if you'd like to join the conversation, if there's something you've always wanted to ask John Davidson, you can call 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address, esspgh@wesa.fm. And you can reach us on Twitter @esspgh and follow the conversation at #EPLive. The lessons of Wicked. There are many. And this show really turns The Wizard of Oz on its head in so many ways.
Yes, yes. The first lesson I've always just talked about is that role-playing is okay. To be a con man is we're all role-playing. The biggest lesson, of course, of Wicked is that there is a green girl inside every one of us, even you, even I, even me. We all have a green girl inside. What does that mean? We all have been an outcast at some point in our lives where we've been rejected. Whether you're green or your skin is whatever color, or maybe you're not cool enough, or maybe you're too cool, too hip, or maybe you're too young or too, but you have been rejected from a certain tribe. If we, you know, people talk about the tribes that we're all in. That's one of the lessons of Wicked is that we can all relate to. How do you deal with rejection and being an outcast? Because that's what Elphaba is. And during the show, you see how she deals with that. And then, of course, there's one of friendship between Glinda and Elphaba, this great friendship that goes through, many twists and turns and becomes very real. The writing is so good. The book is so good. And the music. And the direction. Joe Mantello, the director of Wicked, does very few. This may have been his first musical. He's an actor and play guy. He's a real theater person, not just musical fluff, you know. So there's the depth of Wicked may take you seeing it twice to – you will sense it right away, but it's a very complex story. And it's more complex than any musical I've ever done. Before this, my favorite musical was Ragtime. I got a chance to play Father in Ragtime for a couple of months. And Wicked now, I would say, is my – this and Les Mis, my favorite musical.
Well, you mentioned being in your 70s, which I wasn't going to bring up, and which people, you know, probably have a hard time just wrapping their mind around that, because in our image of you is as the, you know, this eternally youthful, vibrant guy, and you have that.
Well, then
rich...
they haven't seen me lately.
Well, you're still looking gray hair, definitely, but obviously it's still.
I'm an old man.
Well, at in your 70s, with and you have this marvelous baritone voice that you have used.
Ah, thank you.
How do you take care of your voice? Especially on the, you know, you're sitting here after a night of performing, talking on the radio, and you have to get back out there tonight. So what do you do?
Well, I think my early voice lessons, I took years of voice lessons and trained for a Broadway career and then got into pop and Vegas and television variety. So I'm supposed to know how to use my voice well. I think I feel very dry right now, quite honestly. I think as you get older, you fight dryness. You know, I think that's things you have to look out for is how to keep your voice humidified, you know. And so I drink a lot of water. I still play tennis when I'm at home. I play a couple times a week. I like to run. I like to bicycle. I have this dream. I would like to ride my bicycle across the United States. I would like to start in Portland, Maine, and go to Portland, Oregon on adventure cycling sets out the roads. It's actually a route you can go that's called the Northern Route. And I'd like to busk along the way. Do you know what a busker is?
I do not know. Explain that.
It's a word. It's kind of an English, UK, British word. A busker is a street performer. I would like to sing on street corners with my guitar strapped to the back of my bicycle and try to make it across the country.
You know, that might be something to do for the when you turn 75. Just that might be.
That's too old. No. I got to do it before then.
Okay. All right. Fair
Time's
enough.
Time's running out.
You know, as you talked about the arc of your career, and you've done a variety of things, and as you were being channeled or directed into the area of hosting and being involved in doing variety shows and game shows and that kind of thing. Was there ever a point at which you were inside maybe feeling some resistance toward that and saying, you know, I am an actor or a stage performer at heart and I want to get back to doing what I started doing on Broadway?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe I should have felt that more, but again, the pitchfork effect. I started out being trained to not say no to anything, as long as it's audience related and people related and theater related. Just do it. Just do it the best you can. I suppose I should have had more. I'm an actor. I only do Shakespeare, and I only do the tragedies. You know, I never do the comedies.
Well, you know, one thing that has impressed me about you is that you were never afraid to work against type. And there was among the many roles that you've done on television, there was a very memorable one on an episode of The Streets of San Francisco called The Mask of Death. And in this, you portray a cross-dressing lounge singer who murders her fans. And in this episode, you sing in drag, impersonating Carol Channing, singing Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend. Talk about doing this. And was there anybody that advised you against it, or were you at all afraid about how that might impact your image?
I was looking for something different. At that point, I'd just done two Disney films, The Happiest Millionaire and Family Band. I was getting boy meets girl, boy tries to get girl. At the end of the thing, boy usually gets girl. It was all more fluffy things, and my manager said, "Here's this role that they would consider you for this, playing this transvestite." And wouldn't that be different? I said, you bet it would. And I jumped at it as a chance to try something different. Short story about that. It was on the streets of San Francisco, and we were shooting in San Francisco. And I was drinking the Tab. It was a diet drink called Tab back then, and coffee, because I was very nervous. One day I'd be the woman, next day I'd be the man. And along about noon, I had to go to the restroom. Well, when you're in full drag and you're shooting in San Francisco, which restroom do you go to? So I went into the ladies' room because it was the most – I figured this will be the most convenient. I was the closest, and I was in there 2 seconds, and a lady walked in. Right away she said, what are you doing in here? I said, how did you spot me? She said, you were the only one standing. That was a joke. But yeah, it was a real a stretch to play it. During that time, the guy was not supposed to be gay. He was supposed to be a straight guy as a transvestite. I think that would be very rare. And I think back they just didn't want to deal with the gay theme. I had a girlfriend on the show in the actor. I mean, as an actor, there was a in the script. But it was a real stretch, and I was looking for things like that.
And it went over well, so
it was very well received. Yeah, I probably should have done more than that. I probably should have done more offbeat things. I think I dug down and did some good acting that I was proud of. So much of the acting that I've done has been self-conscious, and that's one of my biggest problems with a lot of actors on TV is that it seems so self-conscious. Where in film, where you have more time. That it seems less that. I think I've been guilty of that. It's a very middle-of-the-road image that I've had most of my career. And I think, you know, I think I've used that to get work, you know. I think you use whatever you look like and whatever you seem like. You have to go with that, you know.
Sure.
And I've been guilty of that, or I've been smart enough to realize that to be in the business 50 years, you use whatever you look like, whatever you appear like. And I came from a very wholesome family. Both my mother and my father are ordained ministers. They're gone now.
And you're from Pittsburgh.
I'm from
originally.
Pittsburgh, yeah.
You were born here. Explain the whole connection.
Well, my grandmother lived, I think, in Wilkinsburg. I've got to go try to – this morning we tried to drive around and find her house. But it may not have been. And I want to try to figure out. I have some cousins, Beck. My family name is Beck. If Dennis Beck or Dick Beck are listening to this show, please come to the theater and leave me a note at the Benedum Theater and let me know where you are. I've lost track of my cousins here. So I was born in Pittsburgh because my mother was staying with her mother during World War II because my dad was in the service. And so we stayed like for 3 or 4 years with my mother on this house on this hill. But there are many hills in Pittsburgh.
Yes, there are.
Yes.
And what's interesting is I read that you were born at Mercy Hospital.
So I was born at Mercy Hospital.
Right across
yes.
the river from where we're sitting right now. It's Essential Pittsburgh, and we are talking with actor John Davidson. Not much time for questions, but if you have one or you're related to John Davidson, give us a call at 412-246-2002. I wanted to ask you about you filled in for Johnny Carson 87 times as host of the old Tonight Show, the classic Tonight Show, which really set the standard that is still being copied to this day. Mm-hmm. When you guest hosted, were there any rules that Johnny Carson or others wanted you to follow? What were the guidelines?
Well, you had to keep reminding yourself that it was Carson's seat. His name was on the pencils. His name was on the coffee mug
really?
In front of you. Yeah, yeah. And you, even though I was hosting the Tonight Show, I couldn't pick the guests usually. Two classic examples. I wanted to have a country singer on by the name of Kenny Rogers, who I'd been working with and was a friend. And they said, oh, no, Kenny Rogers is not a talker. And so we don't want to book him. I said, you don't know Kenny Rogers the way I – he has stories that'll fall down funny. And he's – of course he's a talker. He's – no one's maybe asked him the right questions. But – and so – I finally got Kenny Rogers on, but it took a long time, and it was quite a push. Then I said, I'm a scuba diver, and I'd like to have Jacques Cousteau on. And they said, okay, we'll book Jacques Cousteau. Well, there's a legend Jacques Cousteau. They put him on at 5 minutes to one. At that point, that time it was an hour and a half. Last 5 or 6 minutes of the show, I had 3.5 minutes with Jacques Cousteau because I had to billboard the guests for the next night. And, oh, I felt so guilty about that. So, yeah, what I realized when I replaced Carson is that I couldn't fill his shoes, and yet I was locked into that. When I replaced Mike Douglas in the afternoon, my talk show replaced Mike Douglas for Westinghouse and was on here in Pittsburgh in the 80s.
Sure.
Everybody said, how are you going to fill Mike Douglas's shoes? When I did the Music Man, a lot of tours, I said, how are you going to be Harold Hill? You can't be Robert Preston. You have to bring your own shoes. You have to fill your own shoes as well as you can. I'm sure you have people that you idolize in radio that you'd love to be like, whatever. But no, you've got to be as – you've got to fill your shoes as much as you can.
We're talking with John Davidson here on Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. By the way, with all those pencils and the cup with the name Johnny Carson on, did you happen to walk off with any of that?
No, I didn't.
We have Casey at Edgewood who has a question and correction for John Davidson. I wonder what that's about. Let's go ahead and put those
in. I love that. Maybe she knows where my grandmother lives.
Okay, go ahead.
Hi there.
Oh, I might. I went to school with a Dick Beck from Edgewood, which is the next town over from Wilkinsburg, and there are plenty of hills in Edgewood. So,
oh, I'm so glad you called because yes, Edgewood is – I just drove out there and yeah.
Maybe that's your cousin. I'll try to track him down for you. How's that?
Would you do that really?
You bet, and I can tell you something you did for me. In 1974, you were performing at the Holiday House in Monroeville, and my high school was having its little prom there, and between acts, you were kind enough to come into our ballroom and crown our prom queen. Thank you, Mr. Davidson.
Oh, my goodness. I remember the Holiday House. Yeah, I played the Holiday House several times. I mean, that was where Tony Orlando and Bobby Vinton and all of the Vegas performers that I came up with. We all played that year. Thanks for remembering that. Oh, my goodness. But so you went to school with Dick Beck.
I did. And he would have – I'm assuming it's the same one. He graduated from high school in 74. Could that be your cousin?
I have no idea.
Well, I'll tell you what.
No, I don't think it could have been. I graduated high school in 59.
Casey
– But would you be kind enough to either leave me a note at the stage door of the Benedum Theater where Wicked is playing?
There you go.
That'd be the best way.
Planning to come see it anyway. So welcome back to Pittsburgh.
I'd love to see you after the show. We see people after the show.
Okay.
Thank you.
See you then. Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Casey. Yeah, I was trying to figure out a way we could make that happen. We've come to time. Boy, and you going in and crowning the prom queen. What a guy you are. John Davidson.
I told you, I can't say no. I do anything.
He's been our guest. John Davidson is starring as the wizard in the touring Broadway production of Wicked at the Benedum Center. And the show will continue through February 9th. John Davidson, Pittsburgh native, thank you so much for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul. It was great.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. You can catch the entire show online at WESA.fm or as a podcast in iTunes. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Have a great weekend, everybody.